I believe we are live on Facebook. If you guys could just comment to make sure that you hear me talking. I didn't do a check before I turned the camera on and on the computer, and it's not my phone. We're doing it live from the office here in Street Cop Training headquarters in Manalapan, New Jersey. going to answer a few questions. I had these questions come up. One was posted, two were sent to me in a message, and I said, you know what, instead of just answering people directly, I'm sure there's a couple hundred people have the same questions, and even if you don't, if it ever arises, you know how I answered it. And again, my answers aren't off the top of my head or something that I made up. They're based on factual research and my experience. And if I can't offer something, I'll admit that I don't have a good logical answer for that. So before I get started with reading all the questions here, hopefully somebody can just chime in and give me the thumbs up that you guys can hear me. I'm going to look in the group for a second. Let's see where my live stream is. One of these browsers. 25 people are watching, but somebody should comment here and say they can hear me. I'm sure if you can't hear me, somebody would say, we can't hear you. What if I turn it on my phone? I can just hear it. Let's see. All right, cool. Loud and clear. Rock and roll. See it? Thing was lagging a little bit. We're good to go. Rock and roll. Let's go into the questions now. Let me go to this one. So the first one is, I think I have it in the notes here. First one is this. Thank you for the training in Iowa. I've been sharing the information with my department. It has been well received. I spoke to you more about what to look for on a college campus and in the community. What advice do you have? So, look, here's the answer. For a lot of college campus police officers out there, there's one reoccurring theme. Some very, very few of them are really encouraging their police to go out and be proactive. Not many. So if you're finding yourself in that dynamic, just don't forget to have a reality check of where you work and understand what your administration wants or expects from you as a college campus police officer. So with that being said, that's all I want to give you is just everybody should have self-awareness, understand that you must have administrative support to go out and perform police work in a proactive manner, because it's not always going to be picture perfect, and you are going to make mistakes. And if you work for an agency that's going to sever your head at the minute you make any mistake, we're just human beings. We're trying to do a job that's more difficult than most jobs in this world. And one of those things to try to do that job under that kind of scrutiny is very difficult to go out and perform that. So you have to have administrative support for anything that I talk about. But on top of that, a lot of things I talk about here are even for reactionary police departments or police officers, because you have to know how to behave or react when the situation presents itself. So the question is, what should you be looking for? Look, I've had several police officers from countless agencies, 8,000 plus people have been taking the two-day training course, constantly getting the same questions. What am I looking for? I only have a square mile. I have a train station. I have a bus station. What should I look for? Guys, it's a puzzle, right? So the puzzle is, what do I have? What's normal and what's abnormal, right? Everybody's got something going on. And I always think about this. I go, for example, when we posted that guy who got 5 pounds of methamphetamine after the most recent Iowa class that I did last week, somebody commented on it. I'm not picking on that person, really, but you found that in Iowa? So the first thing I want to tell you is, when I see a comment like that, it's not me being critical. It's just that you're not even believing that's there to begin with. So you have to understand, if you're looking for something in particular like crime, guess what? It's there. The question is what kind of crime do you have, and how are you going to figure out how to get to it, okay? So, you know, what's that anomaly occurring? Let me give you an example of, I don't know, when I advised some fellows from a New Jersey police department here regarding doing pedestrian interdiction or pedestrian proactive patrol work. Interdiction is an interesting term, because if you really think about it, interdiction covers a lot of vast majority. If you're going to go out and run radar, you're doing motor vehicle law interdiction, right? You're stopping something. So I would tell these guys, look, you know, you work at a place where the train cycles every 15, 20 minutes and 300 people get off that train platform, right? Or come up from that train. And then they're going to walk outside 200-300 of them. And out of those 200 or 300, I promise you, in that crowd, there's a handful of people who are up to no good. You got to start paying attention to who are the people that you're seeing that literally your presence, full uniform, has no impact on. Maybe they'll acknowledge it. Oh, you're a cop, they're great. But who's that person who's giving the two looks back, the second glance, or gives you that kind of look over the corner of their eye? You got to pay attention to this stuff. And you know what? The only way you're going to get good at this is to practice it. So in any setting, really the name of the game is, what is the oddity? What's the variable? What's the reaction to your presence that you, what are the indicators that are telling you, hey, this person not only seems to be troubled by my presence, but also seems to be acting oddly, suspiciously. They are dressed a certain way. They are carrying certain items that are consistent with totality of circumstances, reasonable suspicion. You have to begin to separate those two things. It's hard to start adding those other factors in there because I think I just watched a police program very, very briefly on how I think it's Salt Lake City. I saw it on National Geographic the other night for about 5 minutes. But the guy who was in Salt Lake City saying, our drug dealers don't look like drug dealers. They're dressing up like regular, normal working Joes, and it's hard to pick them out in the streets. So you want to be a good drug dealer, don't look like a drug dealer. But the reality is no matter what you're doing, when you're engaged in criminal activity, there's always going to be some kind of physiological and psychological response to a police officer or a police threat being present. So that really knocks out those other factors that we can consider and just focuses on one thing. We put an infographic up yesterday or earlier today that said, everybody's a suspect till they're not a suspect. And if you can just carry that with you and think about that, it doesn't mean you have to be a psychopath and throwing people around. Just, don't not take a look at everybody. Everybody could be engaged criminal. It doesn't matter who it is. So that's a piece of advice there. So it's just figuring out that puzzle, that anomaly. What's going on in your college campus? What roads are you allowed to work? And that's really it. So the key to that is start to open your eyes and look around. Don't worry about putting a fucking license plate into a computer. Stop pumping plates, everybody, for Christ's sakes. It just doesn't work. And I get that some people in here have never heard that before, haven't been privy to come to some training courses where we're explaining why that holds no significance. And people will argue, well, no, I pumped the plate and then I had a stolen car. Yeah, once in a while it works. Nobody's saying it's the most ineffective, but it is ineffective in general. It's not, it has some effect, but it's very ineffective in general. And a simple concept of getting your head out of your phone, getting your not worrying about what your laptop says or a license plate, just start looking around and going, what is going on here? What is wrong as I'm driving around? And using your mirrors, your left, right, rear view mirrors, and keep paying attention. Wait, why did that guy look at me twice? Why did that guy look at me three times? When I came back around, that guy saw me. All of a sudden, he picked up his phone and started talking. Why is that weird? If you think like a cop, you're not going to catch any criminals. That's just the truth. You got to think like a criminal to catch criminals. You want to think like a cop, you'll have the same results everybody else has, which is fucking pretty much nothing. So I'm going to go back to the post in a second just to see if anybody has any questions. 21 comments. Let's see what we got here. Hey, TJ Collins here. Hi, TJ. How are you? Guys, check out TJ Collins. He'll be, I'm a little sick. Fucking allergies kill me. He'll be doing, he's at an Orlando interdiction conference, so don't miss his course. He's very good and he's devilishly handsome. Scenario two, you stop a guy on a foot, a semi guy on foot, after finding him behind a closed business late night while talking to him. You notice that he and his backpack smell of marijuana, illegal in Texas for now, and for this scenario. He refuses consent to search. Is a warrantless search of him and his backpack reasonable under the Fourth Amendment without arresting him? Some are arguing there is an exception to the warrant requirement for dope in a pedestrian's backpack. Seizing a backpack and obtaining a warrant for it would be the course of action here. That's correct, and I'm going to elaborate a little bit further. Others saying that it would fall under the plain view exception and searching the backpack on scene without a warrant would be the course of action. What say you? Are you aware of any cases in this state versus Gilkey was similar but not quite the same? So that's a good question. First thing I want to say is I am not a case law expert for the state of Texas, but I can tell you a few things regarding why we're allowed to search with probable cause in certain scenarios. And those scenarios are in automobile stops. We have the automobile exception to the written warrant requirement, unless you're in a state like New Hampshire or New Mexico, where they don't have the automobile exception to the written warrant requirement. So essentially what they're saying is in order to have a warrantless search in the United States, you have to have two things to equal a warrantless search. The first one is probable cause. The second one is exigent circumstances, right? So exigent circumstances really, off the top of my head, kind of mean you don't have time to go get a search warrant. You'd have to act immediately. We're going to stick to the federal constitution at this point now. Now, I'm not sure of anything that says that an odor on a federal circuit falls in plain view. I would say that's plain smell, but does that fall under a plain smell doctrine? And I'm going to talk about Jersey's law and what it says we can do. So for Texas, I'm not sure. I would advocate that if you had reasonable suspicion, or in this case, I guess probable cause, you could seize the backpack, play it smart. If you had reasonable suspicion, you could hold the backpack, for a certain amount of time, let a dog sniff the backpack and indicate, and you would have to seize the backpack and apply for a search warrant to the courts. That's generally how it's going to go. Now, New Jersey is a little different. That's why I want to do a video on this. In New Jersey, we have cases like State versus George Meyer, State versus Vanderveer. We have State versus Nishina. We have State versus what's my other ones? State versus Judge. We have several cases, and New Jersey addresses plain view like this. Basically, if you smell like weed, we can search you. Not every state follows that. We may have some difficult gun laws here, but in reality, we're certainly far from as bad as some other states are. If you want to know, in reality, the worst cases or case law, the most strict places for police officers have been so far the Northwest United States. In that Northwest region, the courts seem to be outdated or not in touch with reality. I don't know what's going on there. We're trying to continue to address it, but so in reality, here in New Jersey, it's acceptable. We're very unique to that. We can arrest on the odor of marijuana, see State versus George Myers, 2015, an appellate division case, upholds previous cases of that same circumstance. Not only that, but we were allowed to search people. Vanderveer, when two police officers from the Monmouth County Sheriff's Department in 1998 or some shit like that walk up on a porch to serve a warrant, they smell the odor of burnt marijuana and search everybody. In Vanderveer's front right pocket, they find a small quantity of cocaine rolled up in a dollar bill. And the court said, look, there's no difference between a house or a porch or an enclosed porch area. I think it was 16 by 20 enclosed porch area. When you smell weed, it's no different than a car or a hotel room. The same exigency applies. Does it apply for Texas? Hopefully somebody watching this video will chime in and say yes or no and provide supportive facts, right? I don't want to just hear what you think or what you heard at muster, right? Or what your legal opinion is. Newsflash, your legal opinion doesn't fucking matter. So stop advocating or portraying it because you want to be part of the conversation. If you're going to contribute to it, please have it fact-based. You hear how I'm saying things? Fact-based. So essentially, no matter what, like if this happened in New Jersey, I would say affect the arrest. And guys, I'm not advocating people to go out and start locking everybody up in the state of New Jersey who smells like marijuana. But if we're trying to use it as a vehicle to achieve a larger objective, use what you can properly and legally. So what does that mean? You smell like you're in this scenario in Jersey, you can arrest for the odor of marijuana and then search that bag and send it to arrest. I mean, that's clear indication that's been done here. It has been uncanny and unscathed, and it's been a perfect process. And the more you know about case law, I can't advocate enough for everybody to read their state's case law or at least get to one of our trainings so we can show you and train you how to read your case law. The better you'll be positioned to not have to second guess this shit in the field because it's been done already. You know what I'm saying? So I always say this, and it's a very controversial statement. I know it hurts feelings, but it is the truth, and we don't deviate from that. Is you can be good at your job. You can be a street level. You can have a lot of things, but you can never be great at your job until you actually know the case law surrounding police work. It's just impossible. There's no goddamn way you could be the best, the master of your craft, unless you knew case law in your state. And when you start reading it, you'll understand that statement more. Well, fuck him. Who the fuck does he think he is? Blah, blah, blah. Guys, I was a good cop, and I became a much better cop when I took the idea that I was going to start reading case law and got myself educated. And I was able to navigate very swiftly, very confidently through law enforcement dilemmas or situations or circumstances in my career. The last one, and I know I'm not going to go back to the screen, is a question about any tips on hotel motel interdiction. The one thing I could tell you is this, is if you have a hotel or motel in your town, don't forget, contraband is traveling throughout this country. There are several interstate trips, and people have to utilize hotels. Hotels are the forefront for criminal activity. Do I have tips for investigating them? I don't. For me, the kind of work that I did, I'd be very observant watching traveling traffic from a stationary position. That's the kind of work that I did, proactive work, looking for reactions, looking for indicators. And I would also go through the parking lots of my hotels, looking for what? Anomalies, right? One of the last hotel jobs I had, as I was driving through the parking lot, all of a sudden doors flew open. This is just one of many scenarios that I've had. Doors flew open on a like a Ford Explorer. I remember calling TJ and asking if he thought there was a trap in the car. Immediately. So that patrol car came around the bend in this parking lot. The doors flew open and everybody starts exiting the car. All three people now all of a sudden have to exit the car. So I'm going to do a consensual encounter. I stop the car, don't block it in because I know case law. I start walking up. They start running and bricks of heroin. And in bricks, New Jersey, the 50 bags of heroin start dropping out of this dude's pocket. They drop like 7 or 8 bricks of heroin on the ground. So then plain view kicks in. I make my arrest. I actually got consent to search of his hotel room and found a substantial amount of more narcotics. And that was just a follow-up to that traffic stop. I knew he was going to the hotel. I knew he had a room. But I don't teach it because I didn't spend a lot of time in it. I'm familiar with some of the tactics of it, but I'm in no position or have any expertise to tell you about going to talk to the clerk. TJ Cullen actually knows a lot about this stuff. So if you're not a part of TrapFind, go into TrapFind. Maybe he'll do a video and answer this question for everybody. And T, you know, comment on this video because I think this is where a lot of your expertise comes in. So a lot of great things. So there are classes on hotel, motel interdiction. I don't personally know off the top of my head of any that are active right now. I know some instructors that used to teach them. I don't know what they're teaching them anymore. And they're great, man. So we learned a lot today, right? I'm going to go back to the group now and see if there's any questions I can answer while we're still here. All right, let me go back to this.